like me to sing. You'd probably send me home. When I was younger, I had the opportunity of singing in a college quartet for 4 years and seminary quartets for a couple of years. We were known as the King's Ambassadors. About 4 years ago, we got together again and hadn't sung since 1952. We no longer call ourselves the King's Ambassadors. We call ourselves the King's Groaners. But we have a great time together singing and praising the Lord. We've held all of our reunions at America's Keswick up in New Jersey. So we're there at a conference at the time, and we thank God for the privilege. Let's pray. Father, we're dealing tonight with the future of nations. We're dealing tonight with people. We're dealing tonight in particular with your judgment upon several nations. And Lord, even though we face and see your judgment in the Scriptures, yet we know that you're a God of grace that has offered your Son to the world. And Father, our desire is to take the message of Jesus Christ to a lost world, no matter where these people might be. I think tonight particularly of Iraq, facing impending disaster brought upon themselves by their own leaders. But Father, I pray that somehow the Spirit of God would bring some of these folks to Jesus Christ. The greatest thrill in our life would be that Saddam Hussein came to Christ. Lord, we realize what a character he is. And Father, we know that you put leaders in positions and you take them down, and sometimes we don't understand your will and your way. But Lord, we know that this world is in your hands. And Allstate claims to have us in good hands, but nothing like what you have us. We thank you that as children of God by faith in Christ, we're held in the hollow of your hand. You're very close to us. We're very close to you. Now we pray that the Spirit of God would deal with our hearts as we look into the Word of God, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last evening, we covered some tough territory. We covered a lot of territory as we looked into the early portions of the Word of God and followed some lines through the Scriptures. We followed the promises of God to Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, to Joseph, and to the Jewish people that looked for a literal land because of promises made by God to each generation concerning that which he would give them. As we looked at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, we had to also look at the other side of the coin and see what happened to Ishmael. To Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were given promises concerning the land today that we today call Israel. To Ishmael, the promises were given that from him would come 12 princes. There would be cities. There would be a great nation. We tried to show you last evening that Ishmael and the descendants of Ishmael make up what is today known as Saudi Arabia. Now that's certainly in the news, is it not? Then we looked further and we looked at Jacob again and we saw Esau, twins. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and I'll get into that later in the week yet. But as we looked at this, we saw Jacob again. Esau settled, according to the book of Genesis, in the area of Mount Seir, S-E-I-R, which is Edom. Now, if behind me would be Israel, coming down the east side of the Jordan River, you have Ammon, Moab, Edom. Now we saw that Esau settled in the area of Edom and Mount Seir. North of that, there were two other groups of people that were of the seed of Lot. You remember the incestual relationship that Lot had when he was drunken with the two girls? And we have coming from them Moab and Ammon. Moab, Ammon, and Edom make up the nation of Jordan today. So what we have seen thus far is Israel. God made promises to them. We have Saudi Arabia, where Esau settled. And then we have Moab, Ammon, and Edom, which make up the state of Jordan. We will look at some of the other countries in a moment. But I would like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35 this evening. And I would like to begin to take up the future of some of these nations. Nations that we have mentioned and nations that we will mention this evening. In the 35th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I would like to read, beginning with verse 1. Ezekiel 35, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, S-E-I-R, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. Mount Seir is in that lower mountain range of the mountains there, and in that area is also the city we know as Petra or Petra, depending on what school you went to and the way it's pronounced. And I believe that Jesus refers to that in other portions of the Word of God in the New Testament. Now, this is where Esau settled. And this is the lower third of Jordan. And what does the Word of God say here in Ezekiel chapter 35 concerning the future? Verse 4. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. I want to pause here because it is fascinating in studying the portions of Scripture in the Old Testament concerning the nations that God will deal with, and in many cases God will destroy, when over and over and over again they will know that I am the Lord. They will know that I am the Lord. I was reading along in these areas maybe 6 months ago, and I kept noticing that phrase just kept popping up off the pages. God says you're going to suffer the consequences of what you have done, that you will know that I'm God. Let's go on. We'll reread verse 4. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Now, there's several things we need to note in that verse. God says, you have had a perpetual hatred of Israel. Tomorrow evening, I will pick up on this and follow this line through the Old Testament and show you people that have come out of the line of Esau and how they did exactly what the Word of God is saying here. But it tells us they'll go against take the sword against Israel in the time of their calamity. Now notice the last phrase. In the time that their iniquity had an end. When is the end of the iniquity of the Jewish people? We are told in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, that the nation of Israel, what's left of it, en masse, in one single 24-hour day, will turn to Jesus Christ. But that will not be until after two-thirds of the Jews in the land die. It will not be until the end of the tribulation period. But there is coming a day. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And they shall look unto me whom they have pierced at Calvary. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son." And God says that they're going to continue coming against the nation of Israel until that day when Israel finally looks to the Lord. That is the only time that the iniquity of Israel ends. Look, please, at verse 7. "Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. And I will fill his mountains with his slain men. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return." And here it is again. "And you shall know that I am the Lord." Go back, please, to Ezekiel chapter 25. Ezekiel chapter 25, and we will pick it up in verse 12. Now, Mount Seir is Edom. The Edomites, Esau's seed, chapter 25, verse 12 of Ezekiel. "Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them." Notice they go against the house of Judah. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by means of the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God." This is dealing with the lower one-third of the nation of Jordan, and it's speaking of future days. It is speaking of a time when Israel finally turns to the Lord. That's not a very prosperous future, is it? That's not a very wonderful outlook. Now let me turn the tables. Did you ever play any sport on a team? If you did, you always wanted to be on which side, the losing side or the winning side? We always wanted to be on the winning side, didn't we? And even today, I noticed a few playing dominoes the other night. And some like to be on the winning side, and a dear brother wasn't on the winning side. I was told of one tremendously high score. And I think they wanted a low score. I remember in sixth grade, I don't know that I've ever told my wife this. In sixth grade, they were having a track meet, and I decided I was going to run. I was tall and skinny. I mean, skinny. And I ran it. And the most humiliating thing that ever happened in my life happened there. I came in last. All I saw was those feet in front of me running. And the further we ran, the further I got behind. And I went home a pretty sad pup that afternoon. Well, it talks here about these people, and it says God is going to deal with them. And he's going to deal with them in the end times, and one of the reasons he's dealing with them is because of their perpetual hatred against Israel. Where did they come from? What was the source? Esau. Jacob and Esau. Jacob I loved, Esau have I hated. Twice given in the scripture, in Romans and in Malachi. Let's move on. The second group of people we saw, or we want to look at tonight, are the Ammonites. Now we have Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Ammon would be the farthest north part of the country of Jordan today. Now we're going to stay right in Ezekiel chapter 25 and go back to verse 1. And we will see here what the Word of God has to say about the Ammonites. The Word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites, and prophesy against them, and say unto the Ammonites, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, Because thou saidst, Aha! Against my sanctuary, my temple, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity. Behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, and make their dwellings in thee. They shall eat thy fruit, and they shall drink thy milk. I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and the Ammonites a couching place for flocks. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. There it is again. For thus saith the Lord God, Because thou hast clapped thy hands and stamped with the feet and rejoiced in heart with all thy despot against the land of Israel. Now let's pause for a minute. What happened in many Arab countries when they learned that their astronauts died coming back from space? They rejoiced. What happened in the capitals of some of these cities when the Twin Trade Towers went down on 9/11? And when the plane, I believe it was a 767, went into the Pentagon, and the plane dove into the field there southeast of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They were rejoicing. And I might say, I just watched a bit of the news this evening because I try to keep up on things. They are almost certain that there will be some kind of an attack against the United States very soon. And if so, there will be rejoicing again in these cities. May I also share with you the mindset of the Islamic person. The Islamic person maintains that the United States is a Christian nation. Now that's kind of a weird view today, but they maintain that we're a Christian nation. And as followers of Jesus, we should only practice peace. But, on the other hand, for them to be obedient to Muhammad, Muhammad says any country that is not Islamic is to be attacked and destroyed until it comes under Islamic law. Therefore, a Christian nation like Israel is wrong in anything they do, and therefore we are following the commands of Allah through Muhammad, and we are right and you were wrong, therefore we have the right to destroy you. That is actually the philosophy of Osama bin Laden. It comes out of what he believes from the Quran and his Islamic, I hate to call it faith, but his Islamic view. So God says here, we have looked at Esau, which is Edom. We have looked at what God promises to the Ammonites in Ezekiel 25, down through verse 11. We want to read verse 7. I did not read that yet. Behold, therefore, I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and will deliver these for a spoil to the heathen, or to the Gentiles, and I will cut thee off from the people, and I will cause thee to perish out of the countries. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. It doesn't say, thou shalt know that I am Allah. I am Jehovah. And God says, one of these days, you're going to know. Oh, that's taking care of two-thirds of Jordan. You think I'm really picking on Jordan tonight? I'm not. I'm just giving you what the Word of God says. The other one that's left is Moab. And that's found in the same chapter, verse 8. Ezekiel 25, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Moab and Seir, that's Edom, do say, behold, the house of Judah is like unto all the heathen. Therefore, behold, I will open the side of Moab from the cities, from his cities which are on the frontiers, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal Maon, and Kiriathaim. Aren't you glad you didn't have to read them up here tonight? Unto the men of the east, that's the second time we've seen that, with the Ammonites, and will give them in possession, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God is very clear in this 25th chapter of the book of Ezekiel concerning Edom, Moab, and Ammon. So what do we have when you put these three groups together? You have the entire nation of Jordan. Now, amazingly enough, Jordan is not the worst enemy that Israel has. But I have to give it to you like it is. Now, let's go next to Syria. Okay, you have Israel here. And if you go up on the Golan Heights, Syria is northeast. You get up on the Golan Heights, you're really not that far from Damascus. And that's well known in the Bible. Saul happened to be on his way there one day, didn't he? He met the Lord. But it is very interesting what God has to say about Syria. He calls it Assyria in the scriptures. And Egypt. All right, you see, we're branching out now and dealing with some other nations. Take your Bible and go to the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. To me, this is one of the most fascinating studies I ever made some time ago. But I won't get into all of that this evening. But look at the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we'll just look at the beginning to see where we are in the time frame and of the prophecy. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is a marvelous depiction, a prophetic prediction of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, for he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. But now, let's consider in our minds for a moment, of what period of time is this speaking? This certainly has not come to pass yet. Jesus has not come and judged with equity. Jesus is not totally ruling in all the earth. And we don't find that there's no hurt or destruction in all the holy mountain, for the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. This is talking of a period that we know after the rapture, after the 7-year tribulation period, when our Savior comes back and rules and reigns upon the face of the earth from the city of Jerusalem. But now, look ahead. Skipping a few verses, it says in verse 14, "But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together, and they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea." Now we're moving to Egypt. "And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the 7 streams, and make men go over dryshod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." There was a highway that came from Egypt and went on up to the area of Damascus. It was a trade route. The children of Israel, had they taken that, would have only been out in the wilderness about 3 weeks. But they got a little delayed, didn't they? And God had a reason for it. But God says there's coming a day when there's going to be a highway from Egypt all the way up to Damascus. You want to see it more clearly? Let's go over a few pages to Isaiah 19, the 19th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we will begin verse 16, Isaiah 19:16. "In that day shall Egypt be like unto women." Now, I don't want to get into that at all. "And it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it." I will just comment on that a bit. In most cases, in particular a marriage, a woman looks to her husband for what? Protection from fear. I know when many years ago when I started traveling and my wife would be home alone, she wasn't afraid. But I'll clue you something. Everything in the house that could be locked was locked. And when I'm there, anybody could come in, you know. Let's go on. Verse 17, And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Every one that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. In that day, this is an amazing verse, in that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. Do you picture this? In Egypt they're going to speak Hebrew. By the way, what language are we going to speak in heaven? Whatever it is, we're going to understand it, isn't it, aren't we? I'm glad I learned Hebrew early. Got a head start. Anyhow, verse 19, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of their oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known in Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. Wow. And shall do sacrifice and oblation, yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. Now, beloved, we saw that highway mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and in the 11th chapter it's talking about the millennium. So it's talking about the same highway. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. So what does God say concerning Syria, which the old term Assyria, which would be basically Syria and a little east, perhaps some of Iraq? God is saying that that nation will turn to the Lord. And he's saying that Egypt will turn to the Lord. Now you know as well as I do that the Egyptians have worshipped all kinds of gods. All you have to do is look at the pyramids and see that for centuries. And the Word of God teaches us there's going to be a highway that goes from Egypt all the way up to the Damascus area. You know what? 1994, when Israel signed a peace treaty with Jordan, 1993, I believe it was, when they signed that peace treaty, the 13th paragraph or article of that peace agreement was that there would be a highway built from Egypt to Syria. That's mind-boggling. God knew about it 2,500 years ago. And these nations, now the Israelis hate the Syrians. I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but even tonight, there are 30,000 Syrian troops in the Baqa Valley with, I understand, something like 6,000 Katusha rockets waiting to pounce into Israel at any time. You see, Lebanon is almost a puppet government of Syria today. And one of the reasons that Israel hates Syria so much today is that during the 73 Yom Kippur War, we realize, you realize that soldiers get killed in battle. That's part of war. But when the Syrians came to the body of a dead Israeli soldier, they took their bayonets and chopped his body into little pieces. The Israelis have a very high respect for life and a very high respect for the body. If you know anything about the burial rites in the Middle East, Usually they're buried, if they die one day, they are either buried that day or at the latest the next. A high regard for a person who's alive or a person who's dead. And here God says, one day, Egypt and Syria are going to turn to the Lord. But he says, in between, you have Ammon, Moab, and Edom. And God is going to bring judgment upon them. Now, we've looked at some of the nations in the Middle East, haven't we? I'm glad I'm on the winning side. We have not discussed Saudi Arabia, and we have not considered Iran and Iraq yet. Would you just like me to drop those nations? You're not interested in them, or would you like me to share with you what the Word of God has to say? Now I have you on the edge of the seat. Everybody's awake now. Let's first of all consider Saudi Arabia. Isaiah chapter 21. Now I'll admit that of all the areas, this has the least about it. In Isaiah chapter 21, verse 13. Isaiah 21, 13. The burden upon Arabia. And that would be Saudi Arabia on today's map. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companions of Dedanim. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty, and they prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the sword, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail. And the residue of the number of archers, the mighty man of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. Now I believe, personally, that this has already taken place. It says within a year. But now with that in mind, jump on over to Jeremiah chapter 25, the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. My wife often says, why in the world do you spend so much time in the study? It's the only way I find these things. She says, can't you ever quit? She says, you go down there at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're still down there at 10 o'clock at night. Well, if we're going to give anything, we have to deal with these portions of the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 25, and we'll begin in verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to drink, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink of it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord hath sent me. Skip on down to verse 24. And all the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert. Skip down to verse 27. I don't want to read all of these verses. Verse 27. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thy hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. Now, this cup that is referred to here is also referred to over in the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and I believe it's the second verse. It is the cup of God's wrath and God's vengeance. And he lists the nations that are going to taste that, and one of the nations that he lists is in verse 24, all the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert. I believe that to be the area of Saudi Arabia, but ladies and gentlemen, I cannot prove it I don't want to give you something you say is absolute fact when I am not certain. But I believe that this is the judgment that God will bring upon Saudi Arabia. God calls it in Zechariah a cup of trembling. And I'll never forget the first time I read that. What in the world is a cup of trembling? I scratched my head. And all I could think of was a little kid with a fresh bowl of Jell-O. You ever see him take that and the Jell-O wiggles in there, you know, until it gets old and then it gets tough? It's not that at all. It's speaking of the cup of God's judgment upon people or upon a nation. Let's go to one more area this evening. And I'd like you to look with me, please, at Isaiah. Well, let's stay here in Jeremiah and go back in chapter 25, right where we are, to verse 12. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now, Babylon is the one that took Judah captive. I often use the word Israel referring to the whole thing. God took Judah, allowed Babylon to take Judah captive for 70 years. And Babylon, God says, will be perpetual desolations. Where is Babylon tonight? Babylon is in Iraq. During the right after the Gulf War, I was up in Canada, and it's fascinating the people that you meet as you travel around. I love to meet people, and I learn so much from people. I met a young man who was a paratrooper in the Marines. And he was speaking concerned to me about the Gulf War. And he said, you're aware, of course, that Saddam Hussein is trying to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon. I said, yes, I'm aware of that. He has rebuilt the Ishtar Gate, which is an immense gate. He has rebuilt a palace in there, and you remember that palace, because in a niche of that palace was the handwriting on the wall that came when Daniel was there. Fascinating. We also know that in Babylon there was a statue. You remember in Daniel chapter 2 the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had of a man whose head was of gold, his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron, part of clay. Do you realize that Nebuchadnezzar built an approximately 90-foot-high statue of a man, just like what he saw in the vision? And on the plain of Dura, outside of Babylon, they found that. Not the statue. The statue's gone, but they found the base of it. And this Marine told me that he was parachuted in to the ancient city of Babylon, along with his contingent. And they were to guard it because Saddam Hussein had his helicopters there for an escape. And they took those helicopters, and remember the war was over very quickly, and then they came back in with helicopters and took the men out. And he said, I saw Babylon. By the way, Saddam Hussein still offers $1.5 million to American dollars to anybody that would go there and rebuild the watering system for the hanging gardens of Babylon, which were an ancient wonder of the world. If you want to get close to Saddam Hussein, there's your chance. I'm not going. He promises, and this is fantastic, he promises to make Babylon the tourist capital of the world. You ready to go? Now, but what's God say here concerning this nation? God says that he will make it perpetual desolation. The Word of God also teaches in the book of Revelation concerning Babylon being destroyed. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 50. Now, I have some problems with some of this, and I realize a lot of this stuff was preached around the time of the Gulf War. And in the 50 and 51st, pardon me, in the 50th and 51st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, you have a whole lot of promises concerning Babylon. And it looks as though to me, instead of reading verse after verse after verse after verse, just look, please, in chapter 50 at verse 40. Jeremiah 50, 40. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein, because the people shall come from the north and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up. And it looks as though, to me, that God will destroy this entire area. Now let's put together what we've learned the last two nights. Then we can go on to something different tomorrow evening. Let's put together. You have the promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. A little lamb promised. A promise that one day Israel's going to turn to the Lord. Though they lost the land for a while. On the other hand, we deal with Jacob and Esau. Esau, Edom. We deal with the children of Lot. And Edom, Moab, and Ammon make up Jordan. We deal with the nation of Ishmael, which is Saudi Arabia. And we have dealt with Syria and Egypt. Have we not pretty well covered the nations that could war against that little people of Israel? And the Word of God has something to say about the future of each and every one of them. Do you know something? He's got a whole lot to say about what he's going to do with Israel and the Jewish people. What a day that's going to be when my Lord comes back and rules and reigns from the city of Jerusalem. When the Jewish people en masse that I've been seeking to win to Christ for the last 27 years come to know the Lord, all in one single solitary 24-hour day. But there's only going to be a remnant left. And so this evening, as we have looked at these things, can we not together understand and know that our God is still in control? Our God knows what he is doing. Our God will bring the ultimate victory. And guess what? We're on the winning side. Aren't you glad tonight you're in Christ? Aren't you glad tonight that God has revealed to us enough in his word that we can rest in absolute assurance that what he gives us is true? And they shall all know, it doesn't say they shall all know the Lord, but they shall all know that I am the Lord, God's word says. What a promise. Over and over and over again in the prophetic portions of the word of God. Now, we're just about ready to go home. And when I say that, I have a friend who's a pastor who always preaches an hour. And about 30 minutes through, he says, in conclusion. And then he wakes everybody up and goes on for the next 30 minutes. And about 15 minutes later, he says, in conclusion. So you don't listen to him when he says, in conclusion. You listen to him when he says, amen. But, beloved, I look at a God who controls this universe. And a God who set the stars in space. And then I realize on the other side of the coin, in spite of all of the vastness, in spite of all of the marvelous character of God. He so loved you and he so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son that we could be lifted from sin and forgiven of our sin. When we come to Calvary and we come to the Christ who shed his precious blood for us there. Oh, what a day of victory that was at Calvary. But what a cost it was to provide for you and for me eternal life. In light of that this evening, in light of the fact of all that God has done and all that he will do, I know what I want. I have so many friends that come to me and said, Fred, why don't you retire? Well, as long as God gives strength, I want to keep preaching his word until Jesus comes. Wouldn't it be great to be here tonight and all of a sudden you heard the trumpet and we went up together? Until that comes, let's live for him with all that we have. Father, we thank you for the living word of God. We thank you that at least the majority of us here tonight have put our faith and trust in him and have eternal life. And Lord, I pray this evening that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that knows not Jesus as Savior, that the Spirit of God would speak to them and draw them unto himself even this night, that they might come and say to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins at Calvary. And I know that the Word of God says if I trust him, if I receive him as my own Savior, he will forgive me my sin and give me eternal life. And you can do that right there where you sit and walk out of this place a different person than when you came in. Instead of the child of the devil, you'll be a child of the Son of God with eternal life, and you'll join the rest of us forever. Father, thank you for these moments together, and we ask your blessing upon them, for we pray in the wonderful, matchless name of our Savior, even Jesus Christ. Amen.